Candide, written by Voltaire, narrated by Michael Scott, produced by ThoughtAudio.com. Chapter 1. How Candide was brought up in a magnificent castle, and how he was driven thence. In the country of Westphalia, in the castle of the most noble baron of Thunder Ten Tronckh, lived a youth whom nature had endowed with a most sweet disposition. His face was the true index of his mind. He had a solid judgment, joined to the most unaffected simplicity. And hence, I presume, he had his name of Candide. The old servants of the house suspected him to have been the son of the baron's sister by a very good sort of a gentleman of the neighborhood, whom that young lady refused to marry, because he could produce no more than 71 quarterlings in his arms, the rest of the genealogical tree belonging to the family having been lost through the injuries of time. The baron was one of the most powerful lords in Westphalia, for his castle had not only a gate, but even windows, and his great hall was hung with tapestry. He used to hunt with his mastiffs and spaniels instead of greyhounds. His grooms served him for huntsmen, and the parson of the parish officiated at his grand almoner. He was called my lord by all his people, and he never told a story, but everyone laughed at it. My lady baroness, who weighed 350 pounds, consequently was a person of no small consideration. And then she did the honors of the house with a dignity that commanded universal respect. Her daughter was about 17 years of age, fresh-colored, comely, plump, and desirable. The baron's son seemed to be a youth in every respect worthy of the father he sprung from. Pangloss, the preceptor, was the oracle of the family, and little Candide listened to his instructions with all the simplicity natural to his age and disposition. Master Pangloss taught the metaphysico, theologo, cosmolignology. He could prove to admiration that there is no effect without a cause, and that in the best of all possible worlds, the baron's castle was the most magnificent of all castles, and my lady the best of all possible baronesses. "It is demonstrable," said he, "that things cannot be otherwise than as they are. For as all things have been created for some end, they must necessarily be created for the best end. Observe, for instance, the nose is formed for spectacles. Therefore, we wear spectacles. The legs are visibly designed for stockings. Accordingly, we wear stockings. Stones were made to be hewn and to construct castles. Therefore, my lord has a magnificent castle, for the greatest baron in the province ought to be the best lodged. Swine were intended to be eaten. Therefore, we eat pork all the year round. And they who assert that everything is right do not express themselves correctly. They should say that everything is best." Candide listened attentively and believed implicitly, for he thought Miss Cunegonde excessively handsome, though he never had the courage to tell her so. He concluded that next to the happiness of being Baron of Thunder Ten Tronckh, the next was that of being Miss Cunegonde, the next that of seeing her every day, and the last that of hearing the doctrine of Master Pangloss, the greatest philosopher of the whole province, and consequently of the whole world. One day, when Miss Cunegonde went to take a walk in a little neighboring wood, which was called a park, she saw, through the bushes, the sage Dr. Pangloss giving a lecture in experimental philosophy to her mother's chambermaid, a little brown wench, very pretty and very tractable. As Miss Cunegonde had a great disposition for the sciences, she observed with the utmost attention the experiments which were repeated before her eyes. She perfectly well understood